It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Heinz History Center unveiled its new Civil War exhibit last Saturday, and among the exhibits is a replica of the most impressive cannon of its era, the 57-ton Rodman Columbiad, a technological breakthrough in its time because of its size and strength. The recreation of the enormous cannon comes thanks to 21st century technology. It's so detailed that it includes the initials scrawled into the barrel. It is a testament to how modern technology can improve the museum experience. We spoke to Andy Masick, the CEO of the Heinz History Center, about the significance of the cannon to Pittsburgh's history and how modern technology came into play in recreating the cannon.
The Rodman Columbiad is really a symbol of what Pittsburgh could do. No other city in America, no other country in the world could cast something as big as this 20-inch Columbiad. Most Civil War field pieces could fire 1 or 2 miles. This one could fire nearly 5 miles. From its location here in the Strip District, it could fire a shot over the hill and hit the Cathedral of Learning. It could hit Mount Washington. It could hit the West End Bridge. This is a cannon that was a fearsome weapon in an era of muzzle-loading guns. Remember, a crew of 9 or 11 men had to lift a 1,000-pound ball and load it on top of 200 pounds of mammoth gunpowder, ram it down the muzzle, and then ignite that. It would take 9 or 10 minutes just to load the gun. It was really a great innovation in 1864. We wanted the original cannon, which still exists near Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn, New York, but they wouldn't let us have that one. So we had to go back to the drawing board, and using 3D printing techniques and some museum imagination, we recreated the barrel, which is about 6 feet in diameter and has a 20-inch caliber bore. We recreated that using 3D printers and then fiberglass shell over that. The carriage itself is made from 1870 I-beams, all riveted together, that were salvaged from old buildings here in Pittsburgh. And together, it makes a very realistic-looking 20-inch Rodman Columbiad. Museum directors all around the world are talking about how 3D printing could change the way we do business in museums. Certainly, we can imagine people coming to a museum and taking a photograph of a sculpture or an object that they like and forwarding it to our gift shop. And before they even leave the museum, they could go home with a piece from our collection, maybe one that would fit on their desktop. But museum curators and exhibit designers will also use this technology for recreating places and objects that we can't bring to the museum. So I do think we're rethinking the way that we exhibit artifacts and interpret the past.
And that's Heinz History Center CEO Andy Masick. I'm joined now by phone by Travis Gillum, project manager for LF Creative Group in Cincinnati, which was responsible for creating a full-sized reproduction of the Rodman cannon. Travis Gillum, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What does LF Creative Group normally do?
Things very similar to the Rodman gun. We do lots of props and scenic elements, as well as characters, which many people may have seen around the History Center there. Recreated from, you know, historical figures all the way on up through imaginative characters for theme parks, as well as some electronic effects, special effects, and even interactive. So we can come into a space and either create a single element for a client, or we can help create the entire space and help design that space if needed.
So along comes the Heinz History Center, and they come to you and they say, fabricate for us a full-sized reproduction of the Rodman cannon. What was your reaction?
First of all, a high five amongst the team. We love to do that sort of thing, and it's even better for us to be able to do it for the museum world. You know, we do quite a bit of that sort of thing for the themed park and attraction and even science center world, but we're seeing more and more of these types of things in the museum world, and it's great that it was something that they were looking for, you know, as precise of detail and authenticity as possible, because we've always done that with our historical characters, and it's great for us to take kind of our two different worlds and put them together in something like this Rodman gun, to where, you know, they obviously, it's huge in scale, which we've done scale before with the theme park world, but to bring that level of detail into it was great. You know, they wanted the initials of the people that had worked on it. You know, all these little details that they had found on the original gun, they wanted to try to make sure that all those details were there, and our team was able to do that. So it was a good experience for us. It was great.
So the high fives end, and then you start to embark on this project. And where do you begin with something like this?
We started with obviously gathering a lot of information, and the History Center there had some great research that they had found in literature, as well as they went out to the site of one of the original guns there in New York and pulled even more detailed measurements, and they even did some rubbings off of the cannon to grab a lot of these little initials and dates and things that were cast into the cannon, so that we had the exact scale and placement of them. And so we started with gathering that information, and then we immediately moved into a three-dimensional world where we actually built the cannon barrel in a 3D program. And then there was a series of back and forth approvals and revisions to get it just the way that they wanted it. And it was great because we could look at it on the screen, we could give them lots of different angles, point things out. It also allowed us to start the process of marrying up to their base, because they were creating the base and we were creating the barrel. So it allowed us to, as a team, to kind of organize and coordinate and plan that out better. So from there, once that was approved, the file was then used on a milling machine to actually mill out a copy of the actual cannon at full size in foam, styrofoam. So we take large blocks of foam, we put them in this machine, and it carves them out, and then when we're done, we put it all together like a puzzle, and that gives us a copy of the cannon in foam. From there, we cast the foam parts. We coated them and encapsulated them in a fiberglass and resin material to make it more permanent, obviously, and give it that kind of that cast iron finish. And then after that was done, we went back and cut it back apart in several places to add some framing and structure inside of it for support and to allow it to be mounted to their base easily. And after that was done, we seamed it all back together, did a lot of finishing work in terms of sanding and smoothing, and we put the final paint on it and the final engravings in a lot of the different areas. We did a lot of that by hand because they were so minute and detailed in some instances that it was just better for us to do that by hand than trying to do it by stamping it in there during our casting process.
We're talking with Travis Gillum, who is the project manager for LF Creative Group in Cincinnati, which was responsible for creating a full-size reproduction of the Rodman cannon. And it's kind of the beauty of live radio here. Travis, I must ask you, if you're speaking to us on a speaker phone, and if so, could you talk to us through the receiver, if you would?
I'm actually on the receiver right
now.
You
are?
I could switch phones if that helps.
Okay. Well, I think we'll continue here as we talk about the 3D printing process of the Rodman cannon. And I'm curious how long this process took.
It was about a 2.5 month process from the time we started building, planning and building the 3D model and gathering information to the time where it shipped out of our facility.
What's the difference between printing? Between a 3D printing and the milling process that you utilized in making this cannon?
The printing process is more of an additive thing, typically, where you start with nothing and the machine or apparatus typically, you know, then prints the element out. Whereas this milling machine, we started with blocks of foam and kind of removed material to get to the shape that we wanted. It's very similar. I think with the 3D printing technology, you know, becoming more and more popular, more and more affordable, I could see at some point where you could do things that large with a 3D printer, if you will. But right now, in our world, the milling machines are very popular, very